Part 2. In this part, you will hear three short talks. After each talk, you will hear six questions about it. Before each talk begins, you will have time to preview the questions that are printed in the test booklet. You will hear each talk and the questions once. If you want to, you may take notes in your booklet as you listen. Mark your answers on the separate answer sheet, not in the test booklet. You should mark A, B, C, or D. Do you have any questions? Now you will hear the first talk. Look at the questions. Listen to a podcast about the Vikings.
The Viking Age saw the feared Scandinavian warriors descend upon Europe. Now, as you are no doubt all aware, the films, books, and even historical records portray the Vikings as wild, uncivilized savages who only wanted to kill and destroy. Although it is true that the Viking raids saw terrible violence throughout Europe, the Vikings were skilled in many fields and made some astonishing achievements. Let's deal with a few common misconceptions. Not all Vikings were warriors, but made their living as farmers, smiths, and traders. They operated vast international trade networks. Their artisans and craftsmen also produced goods out of wood, rare metals, and precious stones and jewels. They did not wear horned helmets. This fabrication dates back to the 19th century. They designed and constructed incredibly effective and advanced ships known as longships. They were hardy yet light and could move through the water at great speed, unrivaled in their speed at the time. Furthermore, they were also designed to sail down rivers. These attributes gave the Vikings many advantages, whether they were going on a lightning raid or navigating through rivers to access distant trade markets. The Viking Age probably began as a result of the population of Scandinavia growing rapidly. The region contained limited farming land, and many Vikings left their country for other lands. When they first arrived in other countries, warfare was the norm. However, eventually many Vikings settled and gradually intermixed with societies in places like England and France, helped by their conversion to Christianity. As a final note on Viking exploration, they discovered and colonized Iceland and then Greenland. From these locations, they sailed even further west until they reached the coast of North America. Archaeological evidence has revealed a small settlement there. Experts believe it shows how they traded and sometimes fought with the Native Americans they encountered there. However, the small group left after a few years for unknown reasons. This was still an amazing achievement, as it was nearly 500 years before Columbus's journey.
Number 21. What does the speaker say about the Vikings? Number 22. What image does the speaker say is false? Number 23. What does the speaker say about Viking ships? Number 24. Why does the speaker say Vikings traveled abroad? Number 25. What does the speaker say about Vikings in North America? Number 26. What is the main purpose of the talk? Now you will hear the second talk. Look at the questions. Listen to a talk about inventors.
This week on Tech Focus, we're going to take a look at a relatively unsung hero of invention, an Englishman named Henry Mill. He is hardly a household name, but his idea that would lead to the development of the typewriter is still relevant to the most important item of modern technology, the computer. In 1714, Henry Mill procured a patent to build a writing machine that could write faster than the speediest hand. However, Mill would not live to see it during his lifetime. The machine was never made, and during the course of the next 100 years, many ingenious inventors attempted unsuccessfully to build it. It was about 150 years after Mill's original patent application that a practical, working design was manufactured. In 1868, three American inventors patented a writing machine and 5 years later approached a firm of gunsmiths, E. Remington & Sons, with a contract to mass-produce the first manual typewriter. The first Remington typewriter rolled off the production line in September 1873. Sales exceeded expectations, and the age of the typewriter had well and truly begun. One curious feature of this first typewriter was that its keyboard consisted of only capital letters. Clearly, with its effectiveness as a means of producing written correspondence, there was a need for inventors to modify the design. This was achieved fairly rapidly in 1878 when a shift key was introduced to enable the printing of lowercase letters as well as numbers. We all recognize that the shift key on our keyboard still performs the same function. In addition, the organization of these letters is something highly recognizable on modern keyboards. It utilized the specific pattern known as QWERTY, which is still used today as the first 6 letters in the top row reading from left to right. In 1925, the first electric typewriter came into use. A motor-driven mechanism meant the typist didn't need to apply as much pressure, so they were able to type faster. Of course, the typewriter has long become obsolete. However, many of today's keyboards feature innovations that came about much earlier than we could imagine, with the development of the good old typewriter. That just about wraps things up, so if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask.
Number 27. What does the speaker say about Henry Mill? Number 28. What does the speaker say about the invention of the typewriter? Number 29. When does the speaker say the first manual typewriter was produced? Number 30. When does the speaker say small letters could be used? Number 31. What is the speaker's main purpose? Number 32. What does the speaker mean when he says,
"That just about wraps things up"?
Now you will hear the third talk. Look at the questions. Listen to a speaker at a history seminar.
Welcome to another installment of History's Most Notorious. Today, we're going to be telling the story of Gaius Germanicus, known as Caligula, a highly unpopular Roman emperor who reigned from 37 AD to 41 AD. Let's begin by talking a bit about his childhood. As a baby, he accompanied his parents on military campaigns in the north, and was shown to the troops wearing a miniature soldier's outfit, including the hobnailed sandals called caliga, which is how he got his nickname. However, instability within the imperial family, brought about by uncertainty over who would succeed the emperor, led to a series of personal tragedies. When his father died under suspicious circumstances, relations between his mother and his great uncle, Emperor Tiberius, deteriorated. However, in AD 31, Caligula was summoned to join Tiberius at his villa on Capri, where he remained until he became emperor in AD 37. In the meantime, his two brothers and his mother suffered violent deaths. His first acts as emperor were generous. He paid Tiberius's bequests and gave a cash bonus to soldiers. He also recalled exiles and gave money back to those wronged by the imperial tax system. His popularity was immense. Yet within 4 years, he lay dead in a palace corridor. How did this come about? Ancient sources say that the cause of Caligula's downfall was his insanity. Caligula began to behave in an openly autocratic manner, even a crazed one. The sources describe his laughable military campaigns and his plan to make his horse a consul. Modern scholars have come up with a variety of explanations. Caligula suffered from an illness. He was misunderstood, he was corrupted by power, or insane. However, the best explanation for Caligula's behavior and the subsequent hostility of ancient sources is that he was an inexperienced young man thrust into a position of unlimited power. This, combined with his troubled upbringing and almost complete lack of tact, led to behavior that seemed extreme, even insane, to his contemporaries. It is said that the conspiracy that ended Caligula's life was hatched among the officers of the Praetorian Guard, apparently for purely personal reasons. On January 24th, AD 41, some of Caligula's guardsmen caught him alone in a quiet palace corridor and cut him down. He was 28 years old and had ruled for 3 years and 10 months.
Number 33. According to the speaker, how did Gaius Germanicus acquire the nickname Caligula? Number 34. How long does the speaker say Caligula stayed at Capri? Number 35. What does the speaker say about Caligula's family? Number 36. What does the speaker say Caligula's generosity led to? Number 37. According to the speaker, what caused Caligula's downfall? Number 38. What does the speaker say about the Praetorian Guard? End of part 2.